I welcome you to another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired scripture. We are in Ezekiel chapter number 13 as we begin today. These prophecies are occurring in about 593 BC as God is prepping the people up in Babylon for the reality of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple down in Judea. It's only a matter of years off in the future now. And we've got a whole bunch of false prophets out there that are trying to say that this is not going to happen, that instead God is going to protect Jerusalem and Judea and the temple and the ark, and that God is going to actually bring back all the exiles that have been taken away by the Babylonians, and that he's going to slap down the Babylonians. And of course, both Jeremiah and Ezekiel are prophesying that the Babylonians are coming because of God's judgment upon the nation of Judah. And so let's pick back up again with another reminder to the people in exile already that it is the judgment of God that's coming. Ezekiel 13:1. The word of he who is came to me. Son of man, which is just God's way of saying human being, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. Now that's the false prophets who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy from their own hearts, hear the word of he who is. So these are false prophets. They're just saying what they want to say. And we certainly still have this problem today where people will speak supposedly in the power of the Lord, by the authority of the Lord, and they don't say the actual word of the Lord. Keep going. Verse 3. Thus says he who is God. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel. Jackals make a lot of noise as they're wandering around in the ruins of old houses and cities. And so these guys are just making noise. You have not gone up into the breaches or built up a wall for the house of Israel that it might stand in battle in the day of he who is. So not only are they just making a lot of noise, they're not making any help or assistance for the people. They're not building the people up in the word of God, preparing them for the judgment. Instead, they're telling them, oh, it'll be fine. God's okay with you. You don't need to worry about anything. And that's not what they need to hear right now. They need to hear the word repent. And then they need to repent. Verse 6. They have seen false visions and lying divinations. They say, declares he who is, when he who is has not sent them. And yet they expect him to fulfill their word. So these guys are apparently convinced that they are telling the truth, that everything's going to be fine. The Babylonians are going to be no longer be a problem soon. The exiles are coming back. The things that were taken away from the temple and the palaces were going to be taken, are going to be brought back, and everything will be good in Judah and Jerusalem and in the temple. Verse 7. Have you not seen a false vision and uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, declares he who is, although I have not spoken? Each time we hear this phrase, you are speaking when you haven't been told to speak. It's a reference back to Deuteronomy chapter 13. The warning that God gave there, any prophet that speaks without specific direction by God and speaks in the name of God is a liar. He is a false prophet. And under Israeli law, he was to be treated as a traitor and a false witness, and to be executed. So this is very problematic here, that there's a lot of false prophets running around on the landscape, both in Judea and here in exile up in Babylon itself. Verse 8, therefore, thus says he who is God, because you have uttered falsehood and seen lying visions, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares he who is God. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am he who is God. Now this is quite the condemnation. God is telling these lying prophets, I'm striking you out of the family tree. I'm striking you out of the family lists of the national register. And I'm going to dead end your families. And so when I do get around to bringing the people back to the promised land, as is also promised in the book of Deuteronomy, your families are not going to be part of that. This has a spiritual application as well, in that everybody's name starts out being written in the book of life, but then sin causes that name to be stricken out of the record. And the only way that the name can be restored is in the Lamb's book of life, by naming the name, by becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And so God is not going to bring into his eternal presence those who speak without authorization from him. So it's a very serious thing to be a preacher and a teacher of God. And James himself says, not many of you should try to become teachers, my brothers, because you will endure a stronger, more strict evaluation. And so I always encourage people that are in ministry, you need to take this seriously and you need to know your Bible inside and out. And don't be saying things in the name of God unless you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's God's word. All right, let's keep reading here. Ezekiel 13:10. Precisely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And because when the people build a wall, these people smear it with whitewash. Say to those who smear it with whitewash that it shall fall. There will be a deluge of rain, and you, O great hailstones, will fall, and a stormy wind break out. And when the wind wall falls, will it not be said to you, where's the coating with which you smeared it? Now, this kind of gets into some things of Jesus' speech patterns, his way of talking about false leadership. He talks about the leaders of Israel being like whitewashed walls or whitewashed tombs. Now, what's that all about? Back at this time, you put whitewash or plaster on walls to cover the imperfections of it. I'm getting ready to go to Israel very soon. And everywhere we go, we'll see ruins and things. And a lot of those ruins will be houses that when you look at it, you go, oh man, that seems like such a stark, harsh place to live. But what you're not seeing is there used to be plaster on the inside and outside of these walls to smooth everything out and make it look pretty. And very often there were paintings and decorations on these plastered walls. Well, plaster covers over imperfections in a wall, but it doesn't fix the weakness of that wall. So if the storm comes, plaster over a bad joint, a bad stack of stones is not going to keep that bad stack of stones from falling down, because the core of the wall is where the strength is, not in the plaster. Same is true with people. The strength in the Lord is in the core relationship. It's not in the outside appearances. So you can whitewash your outside all you want. God sees the inside, and that's what he responds to. So God says that what's coming from him through the hands of the Babylonians is a storm judgment. And whitewash is not going to save the bad buildings of people. Verse 13, therefore, thus says he who is God, I will make a stormy wind break out in my wrath, and there shall be a deluge of rain in my anger, and great hailstones in wrath to make a full end. And I will break down the wall that you've smeared with whitewash, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish in the midst of it, and you shall know that I am he who is. And thus will I spend my wrath upon the wall, and upon those who have smeared it with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it. The prophets of Israel, who have prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for her, when there was no peace, declares he who is. Now, I'm sure some of you that are long-term Bible students, you immediately start thinking about the conclusion to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The wise and foolish builders. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, while the foolish man built it on the sand. So the foundation is what holds the building up. And if you put it on something weak, the storms are going to come, perhaps even the storm of God's judgment, and it's going to wash all of that work away. But if we're founded on God, if we're founded on faith, if we're founded on a relationship through Jesus Christ, we will stand the storms of judgment and be in God's presence. So let's make sure we are core people, that we are founded people, that we are not whitewashed on the outside, but bad on the inside. Verse 17, you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own minds, prophesy against them and say, thus says he who is God, woe to the women who sew magic bands upon their wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature in the hunt for souls. Now, this is a little bit of a weird sort of societal thing from this time period. The band thing is not that surprising because a lot of people still wear little lucky talismans to this day. Jewelry, usually, made of different types of metals and crystals. But these guys are making little magic wristbands to protect them. But they're also making veils for their head. Now, is that just simply like a hat? Or are they having like the full-blown veil cover that they think is going to protect them from all the evils that might be coming from the direction of the Babylonians? Maybe. Whatever it is, they also are using this to hunt down souls. Is this a reference to the fact they're trying to actually put hexes, you know, curses on those that they don't like? Are they trying to convert people to believe the way they believe? Or maybe just kind of a mixture between the two of the things. We know that Jesus talked about how the Pharisees crossed over land and sea to make proselytes to their own particular brand of Jewish faith. And then Jesus said, you make them twice the sons of hell that you are. And so here is God speaking through Ezekiel, putting a curse on those that apparently would wear magic talismans and apparently magic clothing in order to put curses on other people or try to convert other people to their false faith. Verse 19, you have profaned me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, putting to death souls who should not die and keeping souls alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies. So the population is open to hear all of this false faith. And again, New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, which follows right on the heels of all scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable for teaching. And then Timothy is told at the beginning of chapter 4, you need to be preaching the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, correct. Do all this because these people are going to be gathering teachers to themselves to play to their itching ears. Basically, tell them what they want to hear. And they will tell them that even to their death. Perhaps their physical death here, we're talking about. And we know that there have been some cults within Christianity that have led people to physical death because of their foolish nonsense. And we know for sure that there are pseudo-Christian cults that lead people to their eternal death because they're telling them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear from the Word of God. And a lot of times, they're doing it for their own physical support. Here, it says that they were doing it for handfuls of barley. Barley was the cheapest of the grains. And pieces of bread. So they're selling themselves cheap to get these people to not believe prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And it's a sad situation. God continues. Actually, I want to go back. I almost forgot something from earlier, and this is still a good context to do it in. Here, these guys are preaching peace, peace, when God says, there's not going to be any peace here. Judgment's coming through the hands of the Babylonians because of you guys' sins. I'm the one sending the judgment through the Babylonians. We know that in the last days, right before the final 3.5 years that the book of Revelation talks so much about, that people will be going around saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace and security. And then sudden judgment is going to come from God upon those that are believing the message of peace. And this is a critique, again, about false teachers. False teachers are going to try to tell the people what the people want to hear. True teachers are going to share the Word of God, whether it's something joyous or something sad and a little bit scary, because that's the responsibility of God's preachers, is to preach the Word. So I hope you got a good preacher wherever it is that you go, and that he's preaching the Word. If he's not, you need to call him on the carpet about it. And if he doesn't fix it, you need to get out of there as fast as your little feet will carry you and find a place where the Word of God really is preached. Okay? Back to the text. Ezekiel 13:20. Therefore, thus says he who is God, behold, I am against your magic bands with which you hunt the souls like birds, and I will tear them from your arms. And I will let the souls whom you hunt go free, the souls like birds. Your veils also I will tear off and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand as prey, and you shall know that I am he who is. Now, some of this is going to literally happen when the Babylonians sweep through and these people get killed. Their bodies will be stripped. And if these magic bands and these magic veils have anything of value to them, they'll be collected up as part of the plunder. And so they will be removed. And these guys will not be causing trouble anymore because they'll be dead. Or they'll be deported somewhere far away. Verse 22, because you have disheartened the righteous falsely, although I have not grieved him, and you've encouraged the wicked, that he should not turn from his evil way to save his life. Therefore, you shall no more see false visions, nor practice divination. I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am he who is. So notice it's a two-pronged complaint that God has. You're being too rough on the righteous. I think Ezekiel and Jeremiah would be a good example of that. Both of them are persecuted for their teaching. So you're being too rough on the righteous, and you're not being rough at all on the sinners. You're not telling them that they've got a problem that needs to be fixed. And both of those are bad situations for a preacher or a teacher to be involved in. At this point, we go to a specific time in this year. In 592 is where we're going next. And it's the dating is given in chapter number 20, but we have the parallel in chapter 14 where we just finished. And this is not uncommon to see this in some of the books, where you will have the same information going over twice. And there was probably a specific purpose in putting in it a couple of different places, but it helps us when we kind of bring them together into one frame for our own study purposes. So Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1 says this, in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month. And so when we bring that over into our calendar, we're talking about right at the end of July of, let's see, is that right? Let me make sure here. I might not be looking at my notes correctly here. Yeah, okay, this is end of July 592. Yep, end of July 592. There we go. And that's the day when certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of he who is and sat before me. So this is being written by Ezekiel, who's in a community called Tel Aviv up in Babylon. It's just about a day's journey southeast of Babylon City. And there's a lot of Jewish exiles already living there. And so these guys show up to inquire of God through Ezekiel that they know to be a prophet. Verse 2, the word of he who is came to me. Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, thus says he who is God, is it to inquire of me that you've come? So this is going to be God's frustration. It's basically, how dare you? How dare you come to my prophet and to me to inquire of me, to get background information when you're not doing any of the other things I'm already telling you you need to be doing? Now, chapter 14, which I already told you is parallel, let's go over there and see what it says there. And we're swiftly running out of time today, so we'll be wrapping up properly over in chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. So hear the parallel. And the word of he who is came to me, son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? So now we got a bit more of why God is frustrated with these people, and why he's going to call them on the carpet through Ezekiel. How dare you come to me to talk to me as if I'm your God when you've got all these other gods and goddesses that you're committed to, these idols that you're worshiping on a regular basis. Verse 4 of chapter 14. Therefore, speak to them and say, Thus says he who is God. Anyone of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and yet comes to the prophet, I, he who is, will answer him as he comes with the multitude of his idols, that he may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are all estranged from me through their idols. So God is going to not just play along and pretend everything's fine with them. If they're coming with idolatry as a core component of their lifestyle, their heart, they can expect God to have quite a few words to say to them about that. Verse 6, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says he who is God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Now, we've talked about this word repent many times. In the Old Testament, it was a simple word meaning turn around. In the New Testament, the word that's used to represent this is change the way you think. Because you need to change the way you think so that you will change, genuinely change, the way you act. And so that's what's being called for here, is that these guys will repent of their idolatry and not just have some sort of superstitious relationship with God. Verse 7, for anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who separates himself from me, taking his idols into his heart and putting the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to a prophet to consult me through him, I, he, am he who is, will answer him myself, and I will set my face against that man. I will make him a sign and a byword and cut him off from the midst of the people, and you shall know that I am he who is. So God says, I will shut that down hard if you keep playing with idolatry and coming and talking with me.